The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord.
Our gospel reading today is an excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount. We spoke about that last week. We've been dealing with the 5th chapter of Matthew. And the Sermon on the Mount, as we recalled before, takes up 3 chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. It has an equivalent in chapter 6 in Luke's Gospel, but it's much, much shorter. Keeping in mind that Matthew's Gospel is a Jewish Gospel, and therefore all of the indications in the Sermon on the Mount begin to tell us it was written and shaped for a Jewish audience. And therefore, as Moses got the commandments on the mountain, now Jesus goes to the mountain to tell us about a new Israel. There is one line in today's gospel that has caused a huge amount of anxiety. That's in verse 48, which is, "You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That has caused more anxiety. People seeking to be perfect, it has nothing to do with moral perfection. The Greek word is teleos, which means mature. It means whole. You must be whole. You must be wholesome. You must be complete after the image of your heavenly Father. So let me look at this gospel reading and draw from it a teaching. We spoke about it last week, but it has a new teaching today that I would like to mention. As in the book of Exodus here, Moses received the commandments on the mountain from God, and the commandments revealed who God is. And now Jesus, introducing a new Israel, says, "You have heard it said of old, but I say to you now, I give you a new commandment. I speak about a new revelation of who God is. Don't be led by the old law. Here is a new dispensation. And the new dispensation reveals who God is. It's a messianic age now. And Jesus calls us to renew our understanding of God's presence and God's action in our lives, to begin to understand a God who is different than the God of the old law." And I know when I was young, I was led by the God of Sinai. I was fearful of God. Keeping the law was primary and most important. And Jesus says, "I'm going to give you a different understanding of who God is. Do you know, says Jesus here, in different language, that this is a God who forgives not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times? Do you know that this is the God who turns the other cheek? Do you know that this is the God who goes the extra mile? The God of forgiveness, the God of inclusion, the God of kindness, of patience, the God of infinite love. This is the God that is revealed here by Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not so much what you have to do, it's to understand that this is a new revelation of the true God, calling us to experience the wonder and the beauty of infinite love revealed to us in the Messianic Jesus speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount. And as you know, the Sermon on the Mount was a collection of many homilies that Jesus gave, and Matthew collects them into one space. It's on the mountain, and notice that Jesus sits when he's teaching, because the rabbi always sat when he was teaching. It's the origin of the chair of Peter, this teaching chair in the cathedral, the bishop's chair of teaching. So after we have understood the revelation of Jesus Christ here, then notice that first reading says, you must be holy as your God is holy. It calls us not to just listen to the Sermon on the Mount, but to bring the Sermon on the Mount to life. And therefore, if we're selfish, if we're greedy, we have a prejudice, we are unforgiving, we offend the presence of God in our lives. People who are greedy and judgmental and hard on other people, people who exclude others, they're never happy. They haven't caught the wonder of God revealing in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a sermon of inclusion. Why, Jesus, in Luke's gospel, he is the one who forgives the soldiers who are crucifying him. He is the one who welcomes the criminal who was crucified with him into heaven, even though he didn't merit this. He didn't even say he was sorry. But the infinite love of God is a love of inclusion. That's the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. This God understands you. This God walks with you. This God makes allowances for you. With this God, you will be converted not by fear. You will be converted by love. This is the God of infinite love that's revealed to us. And it touches the life of each and every one of us in some way. It calls us to be like the God that we worship, like the God that we follow. Now, this story was told to me by a priest in England who witnessed it. And the story happened some years ago in a parish in London. And in this parish, we had an elderly pastor who was a very kind man. And there was a young deacon who was doing his internship in the parish. And the young deacon was very officious, very clerical minded. And the young deacon was protective of the church. And in the church, he noticed that this man who was homeless, living rough, what they say in England, would come into the church with a sandwich and a drink every day to have his lunch. Well, the young deacon thought, this is not appropriate. You're not supposed to come in here just for lunch. You come in here to pray. So this man was demented. He never spoke a word. He just made sounds and waved his hands in a peculiar manner. but the young deacon would put him out of the church. But each day he would come back, the man would be back again. And it frustrated the deacon. So the deacon went to the parish priest and he began to talk about this fellow who keeps coming in every day just to have his lunch, doesn't pray. And the priest said, oh yes, I remember Michael. He came here from Ireland about 15 years ago with his wife and his children. And then he was involved in a bad accident. A London transport bus ran over him and caused severe brain damage. He lost his family. He lost everything. And now he lives homeless on Skid Row. Now the deacon felt somewhat bad, sympathetic about this. So the next day when the man came in, the deacon sat down with him, talked with him. And the deacon said, I'm going back to Ireland to be ordained a priest in 3 months. And this man looked at him and said, the sympathy of God. When he said that to the parish priest, he told the parish priest, that's the only thing he had said, the only words he spoke in 15 years. The sympathy of God. He teaches us that it's only the people on the margins, the people that we shut out, the people who have failed, the people who struggle in life, that really understand the sympathy of God. Not the ones in high office or the ones who make judgments. They haven't caught the sympathy of God, the kindness of the God of the Mount of Olives, the inclusion, the sense of blessing, recognition, patience, the sense of understanding. It's the power that causes us to be converted by love, but not by fear. So, when you find yourself broken and you find yourself struggling in your life and you're wondering which way to go, think again and meet the God revealed by Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, and know that even in your worst moments, you are infinitely loved. Doesn't matter who says otherwise to you, you belong and you're infinitely loved. And that's the God revealed in Jesus Christ. For you, this God will forgive 70 times 7. For you, this God will go the extra mile. For you, the metaphor, this God will give the shirt off his back. For you, this God will die on the cross. St. Paul, in his letter to Romans, says, God showed his love that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We didn't earn it. We are sinners. This is the true God, the messianic revelation of God. It's life-altering. It's enriching. It lifts our spirits and gives us hope. So when you pray, pray to the God revealed by Jesus Christ, the God of infinite love.